Exodus 26, verses 1 through 14, these are God's words. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 shall be coupled to one another, and you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the selvage of one set, and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops you shall make in one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the clasps, so that it may be one tabernacle. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall all have the same measurements. And you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps. Put the clasps into the loops and couple the tent together, that it may be one. The remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle, and a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. You shall also make a covering of ramskins dyed red for the tent, and a covering of badger skins above that. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The Lord's people are about to be wandering, and the Lord has told us about the Holy of Holies, which is also called, or another way to translate that actually, it's not also called, is the most holy place, with his presence in his prophetic relation, the testimony that's inside the ark, and in his priestly relation with the lid, the mercy seat, the atonement cover that is on the ark, and in his kingly relation to his people with the cherubim built into the lid, who are a throne for Yahweh. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king, who is the God-man, in whom the Lord has fully and finally been all those things to us, even as he was those things to them before the incarnation, and pictured himself to them, pictured Christ to them. So that was in the Holy of Holies. And then we heard about the holy place, the next place out, and particularly the two things that we heard about from the holy place in the previous passage were the table for the showbread with pitchers and plates and so forth, communicating a dining table, and the bread, one for each tribe of Israel, is going to be put out on it, the fellowship that Israel would have by way of God's presence to them in the most holy place, the fellowship that God's people would have with him through Christ. And then the light of God's blessing, the lampstand, which looked like a tree and reminded them of the perfect fellowship of Eden that had been lost but was pictured to them by a tree lamp, as it were, and which they, of course, did not know that it would look forward to that city garden or garden city that would be there at the end, and the perfected blessing of God, just as the perfected fellowship of God upon man that we still have pictured to us in the Lord's Supper. And we will one day have actual table fellowship with our Redeemer, the God-man, our Mediator, the Lord Jesus. So also the light, looks forward to the light at the very end when the sun and moon have run their course, as it were, longer than the sun and the moon, as we are singing about in Psalm 72 this week and the next couple of weeks, Lord willing. And so there's the blessedness of God and the light that shines upon them, and we hear it both in the Aaronic blessing, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord lift up his face upon you. And of course, that's what we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Spirit makes the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ, by faith already anticipating that which we will see, as we sing, in, one of the hymns, the faith becomes sight. So there's all of that, and all of that is going to go with the people. But the people are going to be a wandering people. And so God needs, God has designed for them a wandering temple, as it were, not a house, but a tent. And the word that's used for curtains throughout here is the word that is used for the fabric covers of nomadic people's tents. So people, especially who had animals, they weren't crop farmers, and they would move from place to place, and they would set up their own tents, and those tents would have coverings. The word for those coverings is the word for curtains here. But God's tent to them is more than just mobile, in that it's portable. It's also modular, to make it easier for them to carry, so that the many priests who would be carrying and handling the tabernacle would be able to divide up the labor more easily. And so you have these long stretches of fabric that are not actually a whole lot wider than this. And they would have the loops on each edge so that one clasp could go through both loops, but that would make it much easier. One man could carry 50 gold glass clasps, and another man could carry one of the curtains, and another man could carry one of the curtains. And between those three men, not only would it be easy to carry, but very easy to clasp that up. And then you have next clasp guy and next curtain guy, and you can see how quickly and easily the entire tabernacle could be set up. So it's modular. The Lord giving his people the privilege of serving, some of his people in particular, the privilege of serving in facilitating the presence of the way that God would communicate his presence to us, conduct the public worship among his people. And we have even better, for Christ himself is our tabernacle, and he is in heaven, and he has indwelt each of us by his Spirit who believe in him, and we are united to him. And now you are prepared as you carry about with you the knowledge of the Lord Jesus by faith. And you too have a duty, don't you, the maintenance of your own heart and your own mind, your own soul, that we may be in good preparation and good season for the public worship week by week on the Lord's Day. This was a marvel in its mobility and in its modularity, and the Lord has exceeded it for that marvel in the New Covenant. The administration under Jesus, who sits enthroned in heaven. And it was majestic. It was majestic on the inside where the priests could see, on the outside, pretty fancy, especially once they get further inland away from the Mediterranean. I'm guessing the dolphin skins were harder to find. The man who had done the research and learned all the languages, and from whom I learned that, his most recent company commentary says sea cow skins. I'm not sure how you differentiate between the Egyptian and Phoenician and Hebrew cognate words for dolphin from sea cow, but you get the idea. But on the inside, it's even more impressive than that, because it's fine woven linen and blue and purple and scarlet thread, which would have been very expensive. And where would they get the materials for this? Well, we know where. The Lord had gathered up riches in Egypt and given the Egyptians much understanding and skill in textiles and agriculture and various sciences and metalworking and so forth. And so the Lord, when he gave them to plunder the Egyptians on the way out of Egypt, in part was preparing for them to have these heavenly scenes. So inside the tabernacle, you'd have everything made of gold and the lamp lights from the tree lamp with the flickering oil light shimmering off of this gold. And then above, you'd have the linen so it would reflect the goldness of the light, and embroidered into it these pictures of cherubim, which are a reminder that God, who makes his presence to be known enthroned in the most holy place, is not contained in the holy place. He actually, the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain him, as Solomon would pray when they were inaugurating the temple, or when the Lord was inaugurating the temple. But they would have a picture reminding them of that, that he has also made them to know the throne of his glory as in the highest heaven, not just in the sky and what we would call outer space, but the third heaven. The Lord would make his glory known there, and there'd be a little picture of that inside that only the sons of Aaron would ever see completely set up and so forth. Although perhaps if you were another Levite, you could get a glimpse while the guys were bundling things up and carrying them along. You still wouldn't have the full picture. But they didn't have the full picture either, did they? For it is Christ who is pictured. Heaven and highest heaven could not contain the Lord God and fully express his presence, but the Lord Jesus could. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Tabernacled is actually the word. Tented is the Greek word there in John chapter 1, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. No man had ever seen God, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has fully revealed him. And so that if you ask, show us the Father, and it is enough. Jesus says, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. That the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. And this is the one whom we know already by faith, although not by sight. And by the time we see him, our hearts and minds will be sanctified such that we will be taken not so much with the physical appearance, although we trust that it will be marvelous and glorious. But we will have a full appreciation then, or at least a sinless appreciation. I think we'll have an increasing appreciation forever because of our finiteness. We'll have a sinless appreciation of whom it is that we see, or who it is that we see, rather. Truly the majesty of the inside of these coverings was in designed, intended to communicate that in just a small way, what we have in a much greater way by faith in Christ already, and look forward to having in an even greater way when we have the sight of the Lord Jesus with glorified and sinless minds and hearts and resurrected eyes and all of that, all of those marvels. In the last place in this passage, although so much of the ink is spent on the first layer, then you have the second layer, a little bit more ink, in part so that you can see the downgrade in the materials as you get outside: goat's hair instead of fine woven linen, and bronze clasps instead of gold clasps, which, of course the gold would catch the the shining of the light in a way that would have been better than and more heavenly in its impression. And then you don't have very much at all about the ram skins dyed red, although the red dye is valuable, of course, and probably provides some weather protection. And then we already mentioned the dolphin skins on the outside. And so this multi-layer is really weatherproofing and implying some of the persistence of God's presence with them. That this is not a tabernacle that he intended to have to be rebuilt, but he had provided for proper insulation and proper protection from moisture and so forth for the tabernacle in these multiple layers. Psalm 104, God uses the same word for these coverings to talk about his stretching out heaven like a curtain, reminding us of the great dwelling that he has made of himself and display of himself, even in the creation as a whole, but of course, most of all, in our Lord Jesus Christ. One day, the mobile and the modular is going to be replaced, not merely with the stability of Solomon's temple, or the reminder that that couldn't be the glory that came from Ezra and Nehemiah's temple, or even the man-made attempt to construct a memory of religion in Herod's temple. But one day all of these would be replaced by that which is most mobile, most modular, infinitely most majestic, and persistent, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in a permanent and infinitely glorious way, in a resurrected and returned Savior. And then Revelation 21:3 tells us that the great announcement will be that the tent of God, the tabernacle of God, is among men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And that's where it's all going. On the best days, we're nowhere close. On the worst days, it's not taking anything away or slowing down what the Lord has intended for those whom he is redeeming unto himself in Christ, that we might enjoy the fullness of which this tabernacle is just the smallest picture. Praise God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, oh, help us to know you. Grant unto us, O Lord, that we would know your presence and delight in you already by faith, even as we look forward to the fullness of delight by sight, in Jesus' name. Amen.